listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. That means it is time for, historically speaking, the Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink from Concordia Historical Institute in studio with me this morning. And I guess the future,
what's up, Andy?
The future is looking bright because you're wearing your shades.
It's summer.
It's summer. You got your sunglasses on. I don't think it's officially summer yet, is it?
No, but it feels like summer.
It does.
It's going to feel like summer this weekend.
It's
right?
Going to feel like summer in about an hour here.
Right. So I thought we'd talk about summer things. If that's okay.
Absolutely. I love summer things.
All right. So one of the things that's being emphasized, I think if you go to the Concordia Publishing House website, they have summer reading lists, right? So I thought, hey, Concordia Historical Institute, we also can have some suggestions as far as summer reading. It's a fantastic season to just sit down with a book or sit down with your Kindle or whatever you use, right? So again, the latest issue of Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly is out with a picture of the Altenburg debate. If you don't know anything about the Altenburg debate, a fantastic article by Jack Ferguson and also some other articles about the beginnings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We don't have this on Kindle yet.
That would be awesome.
But it's...
That would be great.
It's coming.
You're working on
it. So, continue to listen to Historically Speaking on Thursday mornings, and you'll be the first to hear when those come out in an electronic form. We also want to give the listeners an opportunity to get a copy of the historical footnotes. This latest issue has a listing of all of the publications, the 2015 publications that received awards. So we have a whole list of Lutheran history publications that are the cream of the crop. You know, yeah. It's terrible when you read a book and then you say, after 350 pages, that was not worth reading.
That's 350 pages of my life I'll never
exactly.
get back.
Yeah. So,
But you have some great stuff.
Yeah. This is...
The awards.
I mean, we recognized the... A Mission at Nuremberg, the Gehrke story. If you don't know that story, that's a great place to start, right? By Tim Townsend. Also, some other things. We keep pushing Zion on the Mississippi. I know that's on your bucket list.
It is.
Andy, and there's also a book called Servant of the Word, The Life and Ministry of C.F.W. Walther by a former executive director of CHI, Augie Soufflot. The best one volume on C.F.W. Walther. So if you'd like to know more about he smoked a pipe, what else? He holds an umbrella in the lobby of the International Center when it's a rainy day. If you want to know more about C.F.W. Walther than just those kinds of things, the Soufflot book is a great place to start. I'm also reminded of a revised edition of a book that was out of print for years. I went on Amazon and there was one book that was available, a used book, right? And they wanted $70 for the used book. I mean, it was that scarce. But they came out with a revised edition, CPH did. It has a new introduction and a new postscript by Reverend Bill Schmelder. Talks about President John Benkin. The title of the book is This I Recall. And again, a great insight from one of the former presidents of the LCMS as far as how the church works and how God works, sometimes in spite and also through the church. So that's a good summer read. Again, we want to let people know that the new CHI Reformation Coin and Medal book is now out. And that's a great, great book to just sit down with an iced tea or something like that and go through and see how the Reformation has been proclaimed in the medallic arts for the last 500 years.
That is pretty neat. I got to look at that last week. That was fun.
So give us a call and we can put that in your hands too. Some people call, and when I was serving a pastorate out in Southern California, we actually had people that every year they would ask, Pastor, when are you going to order the next Lutheran annual? And they would buy a copy, and then they would put it in their RV, and wherever they happened to be on a Sunday, they could look up and see what, what options are available. Now, obviously, the technology has gotten much better than that.
Sure.
I mean, if you don't do internet, if you don't have a smartphone, the Lutheran Annual print edition, it's still a good thing, good reference work to have around the house. It lists not only congregations, it lists pastors.
All rostered workers.
Teachers, DCEs, all rostered workers. And also some contact information, for example, Lutheran camps. I didn't know that.
There's
a listing of Lutheran camps in the United States.
SMOs, social ministry organizations.
RSOs, all of that. If you don't know what an RSO is, buy a Lutheran annual and you can find out. But one of the things in... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's kind of like the yellow pages of all things LCMS.
It's great. And if you have a smartphone, you can also... The LCMS has a directory that... An online directory. You can find a church worker. You can find a congregation.
Which is what I tend to use. Because you can go right to... Instead of having to thumb through pages. I'm lazy when it comes to...
You're lazy, but you're high-tech lazy.
Yeah.
I'm low-tech lazy. So... But anyway, Lutheran Annual, if you've never heard of that, it comes out every year, and it's got the most up-to-date information available. Now, if you go back into the back of Lutheran Annual, there's all kinds of gems that people maybe are not aware of. One of the listings here on page 785, remember that, right, is a listing of the General and Delegate Conventions of the Synod.
So this is like all the conventions of Synod, is it for the entire history of Synod?
Since 1847. So I'm going to ask you some questions, Andy.
Okay, but I didn't attend all of them. How many of these have you attended? You haven't attended all of them.
No, the Lord's been gracious.
Yeah, because, I mean, 1847, you said that. I wasn't even around at that point.
We had a circuit election of delegates, and so one of our elders was elected to go, and he went to the synod a couple of years ago where they reorganized everything in Texas, and he came back, and I said, so how did it go? And guess what? The first words out of his mouth is, I will never attend another synod convention ever.
There's so much work that happens at a convention.
It is hard work, and for people that... I would not send a newbie Christian to a church body convention. You see things that probably you weren't expecting. But I think again, it's a necessary thing. So there's a list here, and I'm going to ask you. They have these things around the United States, right? So I'm going to ask you how many times.
Wait, I'm the host. I get to ask the questions.
Put on another hat just for a little while here. So how many times has the LCMS regular convention met in Cleveland?
In Cleveland?
Now, you probably don't think of that as a big Lutheran stronghold, but
there are a lot of Lutherans in Ohio.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, first of all, how many conventions have we had up until now, not counting this one this summer? How many conventions has the LCMS enjoyed over the years?
I studied communications, not math.
65 conventions. So out of 65, how many met in Cleveland?
Two.
Oh, you're awfully close. Three.
Three. Okay.
So when you talk about the Cleveland Convention, you have to clarify that.
Which one? Yeah.
Right. Now, how many in St. Louis? We'll go for the big one.
There were 65 total, so I'm going to go with, maybe like 38.
21. So it's been fairly egalitarian as far as, spreading the wealth around. And then this summer, it's not in St. Louis. It's in...
Milwaukee.
The beautiful city of Milwaukee, right? So how many times, not including the summer, how many times has the Synod convened in... Milwaukee. And again, that's Milwaukee's a big Lutheran city.
Yes. Yeah, a variety of
I mean,
Lutherans
if you said,
there.
Okay, we're going to go see every Lutheran church in Milwaukee today.
Well, every LCMS church or every Lutheran church?
Every Lutheran church. Maybe you could do the LCMS in one day. But if you wanted to see the locations of every LCMS church in Milwaukee, it would take more than a day. Okay, how many conventions? Let's get back to the important stuff here.
Demonstrating my ignorance before the listeners. How many in Milwaukee? Oh, let's say 10.
It's pretty popular. 10? Yeah, 7.
7. I'm getting closer.
So if you'd like to memorize the listing of LCMS conventions and the places that they attend, that they convened, the Lutheran Annual is the place
to
go.
Have you done this? Have you memorized the locations?
No, I'm still trying to memorize the books of the Bible. I'm up to Psalms. Anyway. Now, in Acts 19:32, this is a verse that sometimes people recall when they think about synod conventions. Do you know how that goes? Acts 19:32, this is the verse of the day.
Okay.
Now, some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. That's the ESV, so... the conventions make order out of chaos. This is kind of a Genesis event, right? Or a reflection of that. There is confusion in the synod. There is confusion in church bodies, right? So these conventions, although they're not commanded by God, doing things decently and in order is always a good thing.
Sure. First Corinthians.
We see in the New Testament that there were congregations that came together to partner, to have a federation, to walk together. And this is what synod is all about. So even though you can't say, okay, the 11th commandment says you must have a synod, you must have a convention. And at the beginning of the LCMS, you know, they had a convention every year. And then someone said, maybe we don't need to have these every year.
That could be costly.
It's becoming more and more costly. Yeah.
To meet every year, even right. Every 3 years is quite an expense.
So in 1847, they met for the first time, April 26th to May 6th. I mean, that's a chunk. So that's a commitment.
Oh.
And to get to the end of the report, they took a free will donation at the end of the convention. Well, first they had annual dues. It was $1 for every pastor, $1. So they collected $22 from the pastors, and then the free will contributions totaled $96.32¾. And out of that, the Trinity St. Louis congregation gave almost $50, so almost half over half of that was given by Trinity St. Louis. So they were the big congregation in the beginnings of Synod.
It's interesting to see how the Synod, the number of people, the number of congregations that choose to walk together has grown since that time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the benefits of reading the the ministry of John W. Behnken is under his presidency, the synod really took off as far as numbers. And again, that's a blessing from God, but it comes with its own problems, right? We need more pastors. We need more teachers. We need more DCEs. We need more. So it wasn't just building more church buildings, but how do we ensure that we continue to be faithful even though we have great growth? So back in 1847, each of 18 sessions, these sessions went from 8 o'clock to noon and then 1:30 to 6 p.m. So these were full days, right? So every session began with a hymn and a prayer and a blessing by one of the pastors. They formed 10 committees, so I think we have 20 committees, 20 floor committees this time around. So that's nothing new to have committees to do committee types of things. I told someone, these kinds of conventions are necessary in this life, but I don't think there will be synodical conventions in heaven. And I was really surprised. One person, they had this kind of sad look. It was almost like they were going to start crying. And I said, well, maybe for you, they'll have some corner that you can attend a convention in heaven.
But there won't be a need for
conventions. There won't be a need for conventions. So all of this election and resolutions and changes to resolutions, all of this is for this fallen, sinful world.
To provide order in this, yes.
Exactly.
In this fallen and sinful world.
So right at the beginning, the first convention, we hear that there's this discussion about how synod is only advisory. And you've heard that before, right?
Sure.
So one of the congregations wanted to retain the right as a congregation, again, based on the word of God, not just because we don't like it. we don't feel it. But on the basis of the word of God, they have the right to reject some resolution that they don't think is in keeping with Scripture. They had a discussion about private confession versus public confession. What does a pastor do when the congregation says, we don't want any private confession? You know, how do you deal with that? Der Lutheraner, which was the publication of Walther, he had been doing this for 3 years. He just gave this to the synod and said, okay, now it's the synod's responsibility. But they also said, that's fine, we'll take it. And CFW Walther, this and 3,000 other things we want you to do as our president. So it's just a fantastic read. There's an article in the CHIQ, an older edition. If you'd like to read about this first convention, give us a call or send us an email at Concordia Historical Institute, 314-505-7900.
I have to say, I just went to ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org, and I know that I've been on there recently, but it looks new. Looks fancy.
It's fancy. It works on your smartphone.
When did we get the upgrades?
It's we did an upgrade, and it actually just added sparkle to it.
That's what it is. It's got a nice sparkle to it.
It's the summer sparkle.
It looks very nice. Great photos on there, and well organized. Very nice. Concordia Historical Institute, Dr. Daniel Harmelink for Historically Speaking. Thanks for coming in today, sir.
A blessed summer, Andy.
You as well. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer on Worldwide KFUO.